Against Heresies by St. Irenaeus of Lyon. Book 3, Chapter 7. Reply to an objection founded on the words of St. Paul, 2 Corinthians, Chapter 4, Verse 5. St. Paul occasionally uses words not in their grammatical sequence. As to their affirming that Paul said plainly in the second epistle to the Corinthians, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not," and maintaining that there is indeed one God of this world, but another who is beyond all principality and beginning and power, we are not to blame if they, who give out that they do themselves know mysteries beyond God, know not how to read Paul. For if anyone read the passage thus, according to Paul's custom, as I show elsewhere, and by many examples, that he uses transposition of the words, "in whom God," then pointing it off, and making a slight interval, and at the same time read also the rest of the sentence in one clause, "hath blinded the minds of them of this world that believe not," he shall find out the true sense, that it is contained in the expression, "God hath blinded the minds of the unbelievers of this world." And this is shown by means of the little interval beyond the clause. For Paul does not say, "the God of this world," as if recognizing any beyond him, but he confessed God as indeed God. And he says, "the unbelievers of this world," because they shall not inherit the future age of incorruption. I shall show from Paul himself how it is that God has blinded the minds of them that believe not in the course of this work, that we may not just at present distract our mind from the matter at hand by wandering at large. From many other instances also, we may discover that the apostle frequently uses a transposed order in his sentences, due to the rapidity of his discourses and the impetus of the Spirit which is in him. An example occurs in the epistle to the Galatians, where he expresses himself as follows, "Wherefore then the law of works? It was added, until the seed should come, to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator." For the order of the words runs thus, "Wherefore then the law of works? Ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator, it was added until the seed should come to whom the promise was made." Man thus asking the question, and the Spirit making answer. And again, in the second to the Thessalonians, speaking of Antichrist, he says, "And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus Christ shall slay with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy him with the presence of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." Now in these sentences, the order of the words is this, "And then shall be revealed that wicked, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, whom the Lord Jesus shall slay with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the presence of his coming." For he does not mean that the coming of the Lord is after the working of Satan, but the coming of the wicked one, whom we also call Antichrist. If, then, one does not attend to the proper reading of the passage, and if he do not exhibit the intervals of breathing as they occur, there shall not only be incongruities, but also, when reading, he will utter blasphemy, as if the advent of the Lord could take place according to the working of Satan. So therefore, in such passages, the hyperbaton must be exhibited by the reading, and the apostle's meaning, following on, preserved. And thus we do not read in that passage the God of this world, but God, whom we do truly call God. And we hear it declared of the unbelieving and the blinded of this world, that they shall not inherit the world of life which is to come. Chapter 8. Answer to an objection arising from the words of Christ. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. God alone is to be really called God and Lord, for he is without beginning and end. This calumny, then, of these men having been quashed, it is clearly proved that neither the prophets nor the apostles did ever name another God, or call him Lord, except the true and only God. Much more would this be the case with regard to the Lord himself, who did also direct us to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but to God the things that are God's. Naming indeed Caesar as Caesar, but confessing God as God. In like manner also, that text which says, "Ye cannot serve two masters," he does himself interpret, saying, "Ye cannot serve God and mammon," acknowledging God indeed as God, but mentioning mammon, a thing having also an existence. He does not call mammon Lord when he says, "Ye cannot serve two masters." But he teaches his disciples who serve God not to be subject to mammon, nor to be ruled by it. For he says, "He that committeth sin is the slave of sin." Inasmuch, then, as he terms those the slaves of sin who serve sin, but certainly does not call it sin itself God, thus also he terms those who serve mammon the slaves of mammon, not calling mammon God. For mammon is, according to the Jewish language, which the Samaritans also do use, a covetous man, and one who wishes to have more than he ought to have. But according to the Hebrew, it is by the addition of a syllable, adjunctive, called mamuel, and signifies gulosum, that is, one whose gullet is insatiable. Therefore, according to both these things which are indicated, we cannot serve God and mammon. But also, when he spoke of the devil as strong, not absolutely so, but in comparison to us, the Lord showed himself under every aspect, and truly, to be the strong man, saying that one can in no other way spoil the goods of a strong man, if he do not first bind the strong man himself, and then he will spoil his house. Now, we were the vessels in the house of this strong man when we were in a state of apostasy, for he put us to whatever use he pleased, and the unclean spirit dwelt within us. For he was not strong as opposed to him who bound him and spoiled his house, but as against those persons who were his tools, inasmuch as he caused their thought to wander away from God. These did the Lord snatch from his grasp. As also Jeremiah declares, "The Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and hath snatched him from the hand of him that was stronger than he." If, then, he had not pointed out him who binds and spoils his goods, but had merely spoken of him as being strong, the strong man should have been unconquered. But he also subjoined him who obtains and retains possession, for he holds who binds, but he is held who is bound. And this he did without any comparison, so that apostate slave as he was, he might not be compared to the Lord. For not he alone, but not one of created and subject things, shall ever be compared to the Word of God, by whom all things were made, who is our Lord Jesus Christ. For that all things, whether angels or archangels or thrones or dominions, were both established and created by him who is God over all, through his word, John has thus pointed out. For when he had spoken of the word of God as having been in the Father, he added, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made." David also, when he had enumerated God's praises, subjoins by name all things whatsoever I have mentioned, both the heavens and all the powers therein. For he commanded, and they were created. He spoke, and they were made. Whom, therefore, did he command? The Word, no doubt. By whom, he says, the heavens were established, and all their power by the breath of his mouth. But that he did himself make all things freely, and as he pleased, again David says, But our God is in the heavens above, and in the earth. He hath made all things whatsoever he pleased. But the things established are distinct from him who has established them, and what have been made from him who has made them. For he is himself uncreated, both without beginning and end, and lacking nothing. He is himself sufficient for himself, and still further, he grants to all others this very thing, existence. But the things which have been made by him have received a beginning. But whatever things had a beginning, and are liable to dissolution, and are subject to and stand in need of him who made them, must necessarily, in all respects, have a different term applied to them, even by those who have but a moderate capacity for discerning such things. So that he indeed, who made all things, can alone, together with his word, properly be termed God and Lord, but the things which have been made cannot have this term applied to them. Neither should they justly assume that appellation which belongs to the Creator. End of chapter 8.